Well, praise the Lord. Well, the revival isn't over because God said it was never going to be over, but this is the last of the 14-day part. Amen. I don't know about you, but I think it's just God's awesome. He told me, this is Wednesday, right? He told me Monday night that for the last service, he wanted me to teach on come to the waters and drink. So I thought that's a pretty good finale, right? For us to come to the water and drink. So let's see. This is why we had the song service that we had. And if you notice, it's all about the water, come to the well and everything. And all my fountains are in you. I play that song whether we're going to have that service or not. I love that song. So I don't know what God's going to do, but I felt in my spirit. I've been feeling ever since he told me that it's going to be something great. And it, you know, you can receive whatever you came to expect. If you came just to gawk, that's all you're going to get. But if you came to receive something, then you're going to receive. And, you know, you have to have your receptor out in order to receive. You have to have all your religious spirit under your feet. All your religious spirits under your feet. Because it's spirit calling on the spirit. He started a couple years ago and he's not going. God doesn't go backwards. He keeps going forwards. Did I already pray over the word? I didn't, did I? Father God, I just thank you for this word that you gave me for tonight. I thank you that there's an anointing on the word and that the anointing is going to go into your people. And Father God, they are going to grow. They are going to grow like they've never grown before. And Father, I just thank you for it in the name of Jesus. Amen. John chapter 4, verse 1. Let's read that scripture. This is where it's entitled, Will You Give Me a Drink? Jesus learned that the Pharisees had heard the report that he was making and baptizing more followers than John. But really, Jesus himself did not baptize anyone. His followers baptized people for him. So he left Judea and went back to Galilee. On the way to Galilee, he had to go through the country of Samaria. In Samaria, Jesus came to the town called Sychar, which is near the field that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there. Jesus was tired from his long trip, so he sat down beside the well. It was about noon. Excuse me. A Samaritan woman came to the well to get some water, and Jesus said to her, "Please give me a drink." This happened while his followers were in town buying some food. The woman answered, "I am surprised that you asked me for a drink. You are a Jew and I am a Samaritan woman. Jews have nothing to do with Samaritans." And Jesus answered, "You don't know what God can give you, and you don't know who I am. The one who asked you for a drink, if you knew, you would have asked me, and I would have given you living water." See, he said, "You don't know me." Some of us in here tonight don't know Jesus. That might be a shock, but some in here tonight don't know Jesus. They've heard about him. They know about him. They even think they know him, but they have not experienced him yet. The woman said, "Sir, where will you get that living water? The well is very deep, and you have nothing to get water with. Are you greater than our ancestor Jacob? He is the one who gave this well. He drank from it himself, and his sons and all his animals drank from it too." Jesus answered, "Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again. But anyone who drinks the water I give will never be thirsty again. The water I give people will be like a spring flowing inside them. It will bring them eternal life." The woman said to Jesus, "Sir, give me this water. Then I will never be thirsty again and won't have to come back here to get more water." Jesus told her, "Go get your husband and come back." The woman answered, "But I have no husband." Jesus said to her, "You are right to say you have no husband. That's because although you have had five husbands, the man you live with now is not your husband. That much was the truth." The woman said, "Sir, I can see that you are a prophet. Our fathers worshipped on this mountain, but you Jews say that Jerusalem is a place where people must worship." And Jesus said, "Believe me, woman, the time is coming when you will not have to be in Jerusalem or on this mountain to worship the Father. You Samaritans worship something you don't understand. We Jews understand what we worship, since salvation comes from the Jews. But the time is coming when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. In fact, that time is now here. And these are the kind of people the Father wants to be his worshipers. God is spirit. See that? Jesus said, God is spirit. So the people who worship him must worship in spirit and in truth, not in religion, but in spirit and in truth. The woman said, I know that the Messiah is coming. He is the one who called Christ. When he comes, he will explain everything to us. Then Jesus said, he is talking to you now. I am the Messiah. All right. Now, on down here, we'll see what she says. Just then, Jesus' followers came back from town. They were surprised because they saw Jesus talking with a woman. But none of them asked, what do you want, or why are you talking with her? Then the woman left her water jar and went back to town. She told the people there, a man told me everything I have ever done. Come, see him. Maybe he is the Messiah. Jesus just told her he was the Messiah, did he not? She says, maybe. So the people left the town and went to see Jesus. Even when Jesus stood before her and told her, I am the Messiah, she said, maybe he is the Messiah. That's what the body of Christ is doing today. Maybe Jesus is real. Maybe God is real. Maybe heaven's real. You hear what I'm saying? The body of Christ is still not rooted and grounded in the fact that Jesus is real, that heaven is real, and that they need Jesus as a personal Savior. The body of Christ thinks they can still go about doing their thing their way and everything's going to be all right, but that's not the truth. Jesus said, will you give me a drink? It seems a natural enough request for a weary traveler to make beside a well in the Palestinian desert at the hottest part of the day. Please give me a drink. Tonight, God is reversing this and he is saying, I want to give you a drink of living water from the well that never runs dry. This is what God wants to do to you guys tonight. Tonight, God is reversing this and he is saying, I want to give you a drink of living waters from the well that never runs dry. You have to understand, guys, not all of you have ever drunk from that well. And that's why you go through the problems you go through. And that's why you're up one day and down the next. And that's why you don't really know what God wants you to do. You really don't know what your life is all about because you have not yet drunk from that well of living water. But I'm hoping tonight that you will drink from that well. There is a distance so vast separating us from God that we could never really comprehend it. He is the eternal spirit. We are children of dust. He is holy. We are sinful. We could never, never cross that distance, but a gracious God reaches across to save us. But there is more to it than that. There are other obstacles that separate us from God besides the difference between creature and creator, between the Holy One and sinners. Number one, sometimes even when God builds the bridge, we are not willing to cross it. You know my little sign here, build a bridge and get across it. I was upset with the sheep here, and I was in a store one day, and I saw that sign, and so I put it up there. But lo and behold, see, we think we do things in our flesh, but really not. This was all spiritual. Because after that, then God had me teaching on hope, being hope builders. In fact, we had a sign that God had us make, being hope builders, and building a bridge, and getting across it, and then helping others cross the bridge. So we need to stop thinking that it's our flesh doing things. If we're walking in the spirit, everything you do, it really ends up being spiritual. It's really God leading and guiding and directing, even though you think it's you. See, I was obsessed with this is a good sign. I'll just get it and put it up there. You know, but some pastors come here and say, why do you have that sign up there? And so I had already learned by then, so I explained it. So then they start teaching about building a bridge and getting over to help others across. Amen. All right, where am I at? But there is more to it than that. So, okay, number one, sometimes even when God builds a bridge, we are not willing to cross it. Number two, sometimes we are bound by our fears and resentments. That's why I prayed, I'm no longer a child of fear. I no longer fear, I'm a child of God, however that goes. Sometimes we are bound by our fears and resentments. Sometimes a sense we have of our own identity keeps us from being open to God's transforming and redeeming grace. Sometimes you think you're something you're not. In other words, you think you're bad. And you think that's how God and everybody else sees you and sees that it's your own perceptive of who you think you are. And so that keeps you from receiving Christ in his fullness. Number four, sometimes there are things we are not willing to let go of. Things that we must be emptied of before God can fill us. Now, how many times has God been trying to tell us to empty out? He's been working with us about emptying us out, has he not? So I said, sometimes there are things we are not willing to let go of, things that we must be emptied of before God can fill us. And number five, sometimes we make choices that separate us not only from God, but also from other people. And that is probably true of every human being to some extent that's in here this night. Sometimes we make choices that separate us not only from God, but also from other people. In this story, we see not only how God reaches across that terrible gulf that keeps us far from him, but we can also see how the Messiah, Jesus, leads one person across many of those obstacles. I heard yesterday before I came to church that somebody got radically saved at the March for Jesus, and she's going around just happy as a bug in a rug, and she was really messed up before she went to the march, and somehow or other she got saved, and the person was telling me, says that she knows Teresa really well, and so I'm excited to see who she is, because they said she's going around telling everybody, she was really bad from what I was told, she's going around just telling everybody about this wonderful Jesus. See, she got radically saved. Amen. And so if that's the only soul that got saved, that's the other Saturday, it was worth it, right? All right, now, I said in this story we see not only how God reaches across that terrible gulf that keeps us far from him, but we can also see how the Messiah, Jesus, leads one person across many of those obstacles. We see Jesus lead her forward. Number one, until she is not only willing to be saved, but number two, until she is hungry and thirsty for fellowship with God. And number three, until she is restored in her relations with other human beings. And number four, and it all starts when Jesus makes a simple, humble request, will you give me a drink? So you could walk up to somebody and say, would you like to have a drink of living water? You know, and then go from there, right? Come on. I had to add it up living water because they probably thought you were going to pull out a bottle, right? But, you know, that would start a conversation. Not the bottle, but would you like to have a drink of living water? In reality, the woman at the well didn't have anything to offer Jesus, but he had so much to offer her. See, when you walk up to somebody that's unsaved, they don't have anything to offer you, but you have the kingdom of heaven to offer them, right? A lot of you don't understand that. I can tell by the way that blank stare you're giving me. You know, when I first was, you know, got born again and started the church and everything, God had me out there in the circuit. I said, God, everybody comes to these meetings are pastors. And they really were. They weren't to be pastors. They were pastors. I said, they've been in the ministry for years and years, and I'm just getting started. I have nothing to offer them. You know what? I had more to offer them than they had to offer me. Because they were operating in an awful lot of religion. And God sent me out there as a spirit being. And I was just in awe at how they would say, I never knew that. How did God use you to do that? You know, they had never experienced what God was saying and doing through me. And they'd been in the ministry 20, 30, 40 years. What I'm getting at here is never think that you don't have something to offer other people. It doesn't matter if you're a brand new babe in Christ, you have something to offer a 30-year-old Christian, because God places in you something that they don't yet know or don't yet have. All right? So don't let that be a hindrance. Don't let that be a drawback. You have something inside of you that they've never heard of before. Amen? First time I saw somebody in the stomach, they said, I've never seen that before, and I thought I never did that before either. See? So I had something that they'd never seen before. You see what I'm saying? I hope it's not that, but whatever it is God, you know, has in you that somebody else needs. Now I lost my page. Oh, he manages to make his point to this young lady without saying it in so many words, and in a way, once again, that draws the woman in, arouses her interest. Jesus said, everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks the water I give will never thirst. Now see, he didn't have no water, did he? He was asking her, give me a drink. So I imagine she was perplexed at that point. Now he really has her attention. Now she is interested. Now she replies, give me some of the water so I won't have to keep coming out here to get water. I want what you've got. Have you ever, all right, when I was first born again, my friend, she was a mess, she kind of picked me up. We was going to college, and She got to pick up my office, and she was really super quiet. And I said, Rose, what is wrong with you? Nothing. I mean, she cussed and loud mouth and everything, you know. And then I said, Rose, something has changed. After about 15 minutes, I said, something has changed. What is it? She said, I want you to go with me tomorrow night, and I want you to receive what I received. Meet who I met. That's how it was. So I went to the full gospel meeting. I met the Jesus she met, and my life was changed too. See, she had something I wanted. Her life had changed. And so this is why we have to live. If we're saying we're living for Christ, then we have to change. Because people knew who, I knew who she was before, but I also knew what I was looking at that night. And she was changed. She was different. And she never reverted back to what she was. You know, she stayed changed and on fire for God. So Jesus worked hard to get the conversation to this point. Is that where I'm at? It's what he had in mind all along. He has drawn her in until she is ready to accept his offer. So it's a bit curious at this potentially rewarding moment to hear Jesus say what he says next. So he says, go. He has her all interested, right? He says, go call your husband and come back. Now, he has walked a tightrope between acceptance and rejection with this woman, between suspicion and trust, and just at the moment when acceptance and trust seem to gain the upper hand, Jesus touches a nerve. The point is, Jesus offered the woman what she really needed. She needed living water, not condemnation. A second quality that I notice about the relationship between Jesus and this woman is that Jesus got personal with her. Jesus always gets personal. Jesus always has a way of coming into our personal lives. When Jesus became personal with her and started asking embarrassing questions about her five husbands, she tried to cleverly change the subject and talk about religion. Isn't that the way it goes? She didn't want Jesus to get personal. She wanted to talk about safe subjects. Jesus said, go and get your husband for me. She said, I don't have a husband. Jesus said, I know. You have had five husbands, and the man you are now living with is not your husband. Look at the woman's response. We read it, but let's look at it again. Jesus, I hear that you Jews believe that you are to worship God in Jerusalem. Totally change the subject, right? Whereas we Samaritans believe that God is to be worshipped in Samaria. Where do you think we should really worship God? Jerusalem or Samaria? See how she dodges Jesus' question? Have you ever tried to talk to somebody that is unsafe? Don't they do the same thing? She tried to trick Jesus into a conversation about where to worship Jerusalem or Samaria, and what she was doing is so obvious. She was trying to steer the conversation away from the conversation about her past five husbands. Now, I don't know what she was thinking, but she might have thought to herself, stay away from my personal life. I don't want to talk about that. And people give you other answers, but, you know. But Jesus did want to talk to her about her personal life. Jesus wanted to free her, forgive her, shape her life in a new direction, and change her. See, all you guys come in here, you know, and you sit around, and all of a sudden God starts giving you prophetic words, or I'll be standing at the pulpit, and all of a sudden he'll pull you out and say things to you. See, he's trying to get your attention. He wants to get into your personal life because he wants to change you in that area. Are you listening? But you don't do that on your own. It's only by the Spirit of God you do that. Because I go home sometimes and say, God, why did you do that? You know? Or when he's doing it, I'm saying, no, God, no, no, no. But he keeps right on going. He doesn't care what I'm, because he has my mouth right at that point, right? Because you just don't know how I do. I really don't want to do what I do. I said, God, I like to be the nice, quiet little preacher I used to be. You know, but those days were over, because then we just had little tiny opinions that we worked with in the dark side, right? Now we have every devil and the big guys in hell we're dealing with, right? Jesus wanted to offer the woman the living water. So when Jesus came into her private and personal life, he did not give her a little moral lecture about divorce, recitation of the Ten Commandments with an emphasis on the sixth commandment, and adultery. Jesus came into her private life and offered her not a lecture, but the living water. That's a lesson we need to learn here tonight. And that is the way God works with you and me. A sign that God is active in our lives is when he comes into our personal lives. Jesus wants to get personal with you and me. Jesus wants to get into your private life and mine. Why won't you let him in? Because you don't want to change. There's certain things you still want to hold on to. And if you let him into them personal areas, then you have to change. You have a private and personal life which is contrary to the will of God. And Christ comes into our personal lives not to embarrass us, not to judge us, not to be unkind or malicious to us, not to condemn us, because our hearts are already condemning us. If you sit in the house of God for any time longer, you know you are not comfortable. If you're in sin, you're not comfortable, because you know I'm sitting here smiling and have my little preacher face on, or my little Miss Goody Two-Shoe face on, and inside I'm a mess. Remember what God said, you have one face for the church and one face for the world. And God said it's not pleasing to him. Your face should be the same in here as it is out there, because your insides are clean in here and out there. And your mind is clean out there and in here. That way you have the right type of face all the time. You won't have to keep trying to put on a face. You never put on a face. You are what you are. And if you start pretending you're something you're not, the devil gets a foothold in there, and then he can take you and twist you any way he wants to. But Christ comes into our private and personal lives to free us and change us and offer us what we really need, and that is living water. What is the living water that Jesus offered the woman to drink? Jesus, I want to give you living water. John 7:37 says, the last day of the festival came. It was the most important day. On that day, Jesus stood up and said loudly, whoever is thirsty may come to me and drink. I bet they thought he was a braggart, right? If anyone believes in me, rivers of living water will flow out from their heart. This is what Jesus said loudly, it says to the people, right? That is what the scriptures say. Jesus was talking about the Spirit. The Spirit had not yet been given to people because Jesus had not yet been raised to glory. But later, those who believed in Jesus would receive the Spirit. We know that the Holy Spirit did not come until Jesus died. And Jesus said, I will not leave you comfortless. And so when he died, the Holy Spirit came on the scene. And then, first of all, it was God. And then it was Jesus. And then it was the Holy Spirit. And then God said, now it's me again. Now it's God again. He said, because they have been trampling on my son's blood, blaspheming my Holy Spirit. Now, I've come back with my rod. And this is what God's been doing for a good 10 years. He's been into the house of God chastising his people because they are not doing what they're supposed to be doing. And now God's dealing with us. But now he's bringing the Holy Spirit in, and all of us, the Holy Spirit's always been in Spirit-filled churches. Excuse me, but he's bringing the Holy Spirit in all of his fullness, and this revival that he's bringing across America is never going to end, because it's going to be Spirit calling the Spirit everywhere. Amen? All right, what is living water? The living water is the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Jesus and his love, the Spirit of God himself, for God is Spirit. And the person who believes in Christ, the Spirit of God and the Spirit of God's love comes and lives in that person. If you don't believe in him, he's not going to come in there and live. So don't fool yourself. It says, and the person who believes in Christ, the Spirit of God and the Spirit of God's love comes and lives in that person. The living water is the Spirit of the living God. It's the very essence of God. We're talking about the living water now. It's God's energy, God's love, God's forgiveness, God's words, God's wisdom, God's feelings, God's attitudes, God's actions. It's the fullness of God. And this is what God wants to place within each one of you tonight. He wants to place his fullness within inside of you, so that whenever you leave here tonight, you will leave full of living waters. The Bible, I'm getting ahead of myself. It is the very presence of God that the living water is. The very presence of Christ. What Jesus wants to give you in full measure is his Holy Spirit. What Jesus wants to do is to take his Spirit and pour his Spirit into our spirit. What he wants to do is take his Spirit and pour it into our spirit. You know, you think you're doing great things now. Just wait till you get the fullness of the Spirit of God in you. You won't be able to stand your own self. Amen? It'll be so powerful. We all know that the Spirit in us is the most important part of our personality. We know that the spirit, you know, you can either have the devil's spirit or you can have the God spirit. And, you know, whichever it is, that's the one that takes over your personality. We know that the spirit in us influences the way we think, the way we feel, the way we act. We know that the spirit in us influences the way we feel, think, the way we feel, the way we act. You know, as I was reading this, God gave me some revelation. In my home, I can be just as quiet. Next thing I knew, I'm on a rampage. I'm just ranting and raving and carrying on. You, you're going to go to hell if you don't stop this stuff. And I think then all of it's gone. You know what it is? It's the spirit of God in me. He's sick and tired of the evil around about me, and he's telling the people you need to get it together. They all think I'm going nuts, and sometimes I think I am too. But really, see, it's the spirit of God in you that cannot stand the sin no more, can't tolerate that. And so the spirit of God is using your mouth, and he's telling these people you need to get it together, or you're going to end up in hell. Amen. That's not condemnation. You've been so stupid, still staying in sin for 10, 15 years, and you need to be told the truth. Write out truth, because you haven't caught the hints. You know? All right. You are spirit, and Jesus wants to pour his spirit into your life. You are the cold water jug. Jesus is the well. You know, the cold water jug that lady had, and Jesus is the well. You need your inner spirit filled up every day from the endless supply of Jesus, who is symbolized by the well and its endless supply of water. Every day you need refilled. Every day you should say, God, please fill me up anew today. Because what I had yesterday is all drained out. Amen. When you believe in Christ, Christ pours the spirit of God's love into you. Then that love and spirit flows out of you. Out of you flows rivers of living water. Many times when people are up here and I'm praying with them and they're just, and the devil's holding him in that tight stance, I'll say, I'll put my hand in their belly and I'll say, I break up that dam right now, and out of your belly flows rivers of living water. And usually they go out in the spirit because the dam was broken, they can receive. But you know, sometimes your river of living waters is dammed up, and somebody needs to break that dam. And sometimes we're so caught up in it, we don't know that our waters are dammed up. All right? So see, you know, you guys have to be in the spirit at all times, and you're not. Because when you're ministering to people, you have to be in the spirit so you can hear what thus saith the Lord. You need to hear from God so you can help free these people up. Now, if I'm sitting back there and I have to tell you, bind this or bind that, then you're not walking in the spirit the way you ought. Because when you're ministering, and I'm telling this to everybody, when you're out ministering, I'm not going to be sitting back there telling you what to do. So you need to be constantly be filled up every day with the Spirit of God. And you need to be constantly listening, being in tune to the voice of God so you can minister to people yourself and do, and God can tell you what to do with them. Are you listening? Don't rely on somebody else that's full of the Spirit to tell you what to do. You have got to have the fullness of the Spirit in you at all times. All right, lost my page. The rivers of living water. The rivers of living water flow out from you. Flow out from you. The love of Christ, the compassion of Christ, the gentleness of Christ, the forgiveness of Christ, the very attitude and character of God. All that is flowing out of you constantly, should be. That is what Jesus offered to this woman, living water. He offered himself in his fullness. The very Spirit of God to be in her and then flow from her. And this is what God wants to do with each one of you tonight. He wants to put his spirit in you in all of its fullness so that from now on it'll flow out of you. All right? I was sitting here during the revival and God just used me to prophesy and I felt like somebody in there saying, well, why can't I do that? And God said, the reason why they can't do it is because they're not in the spirit. So, you know, a lot of people want to prophesy in their flesh. Believe me, if you're sitting here in the spirit, God will move upon you and you will prophesy in the spirit. You don't have to get a microphone and run around the room while you're doing it either. Because you can, if you're in the spirit, you won't even want to move. You won't even try to move because the Spirit of God is just taking you over and he's just flowing through you. Are you listening to this now? I'm teaching tonight how to get the fullness of the Spirit because this is what God wants to do to you tonight. And no condemnation. You know, if you don't know and you haven't been taught, then, you know, there's no condemnation. All right. if there's condemnation right now, then the devil's trying to do that. God isn't. He's just trying to teach you something. Your leaders, you're going to go out and lead other people. You can't sit here and get all upset because maybe your toe got stepped on. Or you're thinking somebody, you know, perceived you wrong. I'm not thinking about anybody. I'm just teaching this word like God told me to teach it. I was telling Brother Allen I had a word really wasn't quite like this, but I had it really good. It was all done, and I didn't save it, and I left my computer because somebody called me away, and one of the kids got to it and lost it, so I had to start all over again. But anyhow, it's all God, whatever it is. All right, I want you to do something. Let's imagine a creek bed. Would you have that creek bed dried up? Nothing but sand and rocks in the bottom of that creek bed. That is the way some spiritual lives of people are. All dried up. Now, would you add a trickle of water? A trickle of a stream. Nothing could live in that trickle of water. No fish, no salmon, nothing. That symbolizes those Christians who pray only 4 minutes a day. I just stuck it in there. You might not pray at all. Now, I want you to imagine your creek, but there is a huge dam above that creek, and behind that huge dam is a reservoir that extends hundreds of miles. The sluice in the dam is opened, and there is an endless supply of water flowing into the creek. Can you picture that? Now, you and I are the creek. The Spirit of Jesus is a reservoir. And from the endless supply of the reservoir, the river of Christ's love flows from our lives. Are you listening here? It is not our love or water. It is the water and love from this reservoir above the creek. When the creek is full and fresh with flowing and fishing and rushing water, life lives there. So as Jesus fills you up to overflowing, it's his life that's going to flow out of you. It's his life that's going to touch people. And see, if you get full of the Spirit of God, when you walk by people, they're going to fall out in the Spirit. When you walk by people, they're going to be healed without you even touching them. Are you understand what I'm saying here? But you're going to have to be full of that reservoir of Christ's living water. Not half full, not a trickle, not a little tiny stream, but full. I remember one time as I was typing this, I remember one time God said, the river is wide and rushing, and it was slapping. I could see it slapping up the walls. He said, get into the river right now. So he was saying, I brought the fullness of my Spirit here tonight. Get in the river. Some did and some didn't. But then see, sometimes because you don't understand what I'm saying to you, and I don't understand sometimes either, okay? You just do it out of obedience. So when you do it out of obedience, then you receive whatever God's trying to do to us. Just be obedient. I don't understand this, God, but I'm going to do it. I know some of you didn't understand the rock last night, but you did it. And I don't know what God did in you, but it's a lasting work because God said to do it. Okay, now, where am I at? That is what Jesus wants of us in our spiritual lives. Jesus does not want you to have a little bit of spirit. 4 minutes a day of prayer. What Jesus wants for you is that he will pour into your hearts rivers of living water, and out from you will also flow rivers of living water. He wants to pour it in so you can pour it out. Pour in, pour out. If you don't have anything in there, you can't give anything out. If you're one of the religious bunch and you're walking around with your little religious ideas, you have nothing in you to pour out. So don't expect miracles around you. You're going to have to get that religious thing cut off of you. Just like when I was first brought on the scene, God said to me, I was going to go to college. Somebody's going to pay my way, you know, Bible college. And God said, no, I don't want you to go to Bible college. He said, I don't want you full of doctrine. He said, my Spirit will teach you both things. And that's how I learned. The Holy Spirit taught me. Man and woman did not, but the Holy Spirit did. And I'm so glad, because after I got older in the Lord, I, you know, teaching, preaching, everything, I saw how doctrine is destroying people. And I often say, thank you, God, that you wouldn't let me go away to college. All right? You're in a Bible college. All right, what Jesus wants for you is that he will pour into your hearts rivers of living water, and out from you will also flow rivers of living water. Did you hear the word rivers? That is what Christianity is about. When Christ came into your heart in full measure, that is what that woman at the well needed. The river. not a trickle, not a stream, not just a little bit of Spirit, but the fullness of the Spirit, the living water. Some of you think because you can pray in tongues for 10 hours, you're full of Spirit. That's not true. That's not true. You think that makes you spiritual? Not true. Now, you should pray in the Spirit, in tongues. Don't say I said you shouldn't. But some people think, oh, look at me. I could just sit here for hours and pray in the Spirit. That I'm really spiritual. No, you're religious. That does not make you spiritual. I'm sorry, guys. It does not. All right. What we need are not religious put-downs. And I didn't do any religious put-down right now. I'm just telling you the truth. All right. We don't need family put-downs and we don't need moral put-downs. What we need is the Holy Spirit, the fullness of the Holy Spirit, rivers of living water that is poured into our hearts and flows from our hearts. Why don't you have any compassion? You don't have the river in all of its fullness. Why don't you have love? You don't have the river in all of its fullness. All right. Why do you have hate and bitterness in you? You don't have the river in all of its fullness. If you have all that junk, you don't even have a trickle yet. Come on. And you know, I sometimes say, you just need to go and get redunked. But now I know that was God's name, because God is saying, you are not what you think you are. And you have to go out there and get baptized all over again and get into the Spirit, right? Do you know the Holy Spirit can leak out of you too? You know, you can get the Holy Spirit if you don't to get into the Word, and if you don't stay in the Spirit, it'll leak out and you'll find yourself worldly all over again. One more thought. The woman at the well, she wasn't looking for Jesus. Listen to this. Some of the people you run into aren't going to be looking for you to come and tell them about Jesus, all right? She wasn't out searching for the Messiah like Nicodemus was. She was just out living life. She was just out getting her bucket of water from the well, all right? I mean, I told you about one guy that was in my house doing some painting for me, and I was sitting down in the kitchen, remodeling the kitchen, and he came down the steps, and he just walked on me. He said, Miss Barbara, he said, and he started weeping uncontrollably. He said, what can I do to get more of Jesus? And then we had this conversation. But I wasn't expecting him to come, because he'd been there day after day after. I wouldn't expect him to come to me and ask me about that. I was dirty, tired, and sweaty, and I didn't want to talk to nobody about nothing, you know? 11 o'clock at night. But the Holy Spirit, I was full of the Holy Spirit. I had the river in me. And it drew him as he walked right past Teresa. Didn't ask Teresa about it. Walked right back here and come right over to where I was sitting in the rocking chair. You see what I'm saying, guys? If you have the river in all of its fullness, it's going to draw people to you. It'll push people away from you too, by the way. Some people can't stand you because you're full of the river. You know, and they're looking at finding all kind of faults with you. And really, truly, what the fault is that you're bound up and you can't stand the fullness of the river. Did I say that all right? Did y'all understand that? All right. All right. She wasn't especially looking for God or wanting to walk the godly life. And when she wasn't, because she was shacked up with somebody, right? And when she wasn't even looking for it, Jesus said, I would like to give you some living water. She didn't even ask for it, and Jesus offered her the very best gift in the whole world at a time in life when she really needed it. She needed that gift right then and there. And Jesus does the same to you and me. We may not be looking for God. We may be just living life day by day, and to us who are living life just day by day, Jesus says, whoever believes in me, I will pour into him and her the living water, and out from his heart shall flow rivers of living water. You got that tonight? You know, if I say something to you and I walk away and you go, give me the eye, you are not full of the Spirit of God, because you should never have done that. Somebody did that to me last night, made me smell like to slap you. I thought, oh, you're supposed to be spiritual, and you just did that to me in this house. Why? Because you don't have the river in its fullness. You are not full of the Spirit of God. And that's why the devil gets there and does that kind of stuff. That's still that worldly streak in you. And the devil uses it because there's not enough life in you to pour over that evilness in you and stop it. Are you listening here? I really want you to meditate on. I really want you to think what I'm saying tonight, because for some, you know, God said to me, Wednesday night, I want you to teach them this. So here it is, Wednesday night, and I'm teaching it, the last night of the 14 days. This has to be an important event in your life tonight. This might be one thing that separates the chaff from the wheat, the goat from the sheep. Because he's warning you, if you're not full of the living waters, he's not going to be able to use you. Amen? When you came here tonight, you were not looking for a gusher of the living waters, were you? You were just coming to see what was going to happen, right? So when you came here tonight, you were not looking for a gusher of the living waters, but God desires to fill you to overflowing with the living waters. Tonight, God is wanting us to come to the water, his well, and drink of his living water, so that out of your belly will come rivers of living waters. I was so sad when your mom said she's going home. I thought, because it's going to be good Wednesday night. God's going to give us something good. Amen. He wants to break up the dams that have been there, stopping the flow from the head, which is Jesus. Now, well, I prophesy, big whoop, that doesn't make you fool of the living waters. Well, I got somebody saved, that doesn't make you fool of the living waters. Are you listening to what I'm saying? God had me teach us tonight for a purpose. He's saying you're not where you think you are. And he wants to fill you up with those living waters tonight. So the altar's open. I don't want you to come up here and flop yourself down. I want you to come up here crying out to God in your heart. God, I want to be filled to overflowing with your well of living water. Your well of living waters. Not what I perceive, not what I've been taught, not what I've been told. I want to get your well of living waters in me so that you can use me abundantly wherever I go. Amen? Come on. I'm going to tell you guys, I have seen miracle after miracle after miracle that God has used me, not even knowing if I was being used to perform. People have told me, one person told me they came in here and he didn't tell me, his sister did, that they were terminally ill with cancer. They only had a couple weeks to live. And I walked by and he was instantly healed. Didn't touch him, didn't know anything about him. That's having the river of living waters abundantly within you. I prayed for somebody one time, didn't even touch them. And they said, when you ran your hands down my leg, I felt the heat. And my leg was instantly healed. She took the braces off, never wore them after that. I never touched her. That was the well of living waters flowing out of me that touched her. Are you understanding this? I'm using myself as an example because I don't trust other people what to tell me, but I know what I experience. All right? You know, and I walked by somebody that had cancer all over their body, the skin cancer. And the next day she called screaming, it's gone, it's gone, it's gone. When you walked by me, the heat from your body hit me and I was healed. That's having the well in abundance. That's having living water flowing out of you. And God is he has us there right now. He wants us to be that kind of a person somewhere, because every one of you are going to meet different people. And he wants you so full tonight when you leave here that he can use you as a vessel that has living water that flows out of you. He's pouring it into you right now as you're standing in his presence. And it's going to flow out of you. So don't be surprised at what God uses you to do from this moment forth, because you are now becoming pure vessels, completely, totally full of the well of living waters. I'm hearing God say it will transcend anything you could ever imagine. It's going to blow your mind what God's going to do with you.